Okay, so yesterday where we left off, we had outlined 2, 3 maybe models for understanding Tosefet Shviyot, right? We suggested one model that sees the problem of Tosefet Shviyot as... Someone wanna... What? Right, meaning what? Right, meaning what, right? Shabbos, right? We suggested one model, which possibly will be based on Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, right, like Shabbos, that the way you understand this is that we extend the time, right, just like early Shabbos, right, where what you do is the reason that, right, if you make early Shabbos, you can't do Malacha is because it's considered Shabbos at that point, right, and perhaps Tosefet Shviyot is like that, and of course it's mandated, and we have to talk about it and compare it to Tosefet Shabbos, fine. But one possibility is that, look, the reason that the prohibitions extend before and after is because it's a misnomer when you say that Shviyot, at least that the prohibitions of Shviyot, only go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. In fact, they go from whatever it is, right? And that's part of the machloket in it. The other possibility was what we called, right? Okay, let's go again.
Whatever, when we see that the trees are...
Right, meaning it's a preparation model, right? The reason it's prohibited is not because the time has been extended, but because it's also to prepare, because you prepare, then you're setting in motion things that will happen during Shemitah, and that's problematic, right? It's not that Shemitah has started, it's that, look, agricultural processes take a long time, and therefore, if you're beginning to prepare, starting, a few weeks before... Everyone understands that what you're really doing is not really working this year, right? What you're doing is setting in motion things for next year, and that's the problem, right? And then we had variations, right? Is the focus on the land? Is the focus on the person? We also suggested, Josh, I think, suggested that at some level that, A, this might be the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ishmael. That Rabbi Kiva who uses the language of Shishita Nechnas L'Shvi'it, right? That might be the more preparation model, and that might also be, if you want to put it further, might line up with Beit Shammai, right, who rather than giving an arbitrary cutoff date and saying can't work after Shavuot, says what you have to do is figure out Kol Zman Shehu Yafeh L'Pri, Kol Zman Shehu, as opposed to Kol Zman Shehu Yafeh L'Karka. On the other hand, Beit Hillel, who says a set time, right, might work more with the possibility that it's about time, right? Meaning if you define it, and again, we had asked at the beginning of Shir, when the Mishnah says, Krovim divrei elu, liyoki divrei elu, the fact that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai's times almost overlap, is that pointing to conceptual connection, right? Meaning they both fundamentally say the same thing, and it's, just quantitatively different, or is it that they happen to overlap, but in fact they're two different models? Right, the Beit Shammai who says you judge it based on when it's good for the fruit is taking a more preparatory model. And Beit Hillel says, no, Shavuot, no matter what, is imagining more, that Shemitah is extended in time, and that's why you have to pick a time, right? We'd thrown all this out yesterday, right? Right, that those possible models being in play. Okay, so... With that in mind, let's try again. We're not going to look at the Rishonim. We're going to leave this at the level of trying to read the Gemara carefully. But let's try to read through the Gemara and Moed Katan. And with these models in mind, let's see if the Gemara itself, right, can be understood in light of it. Not just the central Machlok, Rishonim, and Rabbi Kiva, which we'll come back to, right? We'll read through it from the beginning, right? But let's see what we get, okay? So let's start at the beginning of Gimel Amud Bet. Okay, let's right at the top of the page. Everyone asked me, where do we start? The answer is at the beginning. Okay, so let's read through the Gemara, and I want you to keep these models in mind, and let's read the Gemara carefully. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ki ata Rav Dimi. Right, so when Rav Dimi came, right, from where to where? Yes, make sure you have your Moed Katan in front of you, what? From Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. But yes, they're always traveling. But in this case, it's Eretz Yisrael Bavel, as Rashi tells you here. So, let's go. What does he say? Amar yachol yilke al hatosefet. You might have thought that you get malchut. Now, if you plow during Shemitah, you get malchut. You violated the Isser Doraita of plowing during Shemitah. He says, Yochol Yilka Tosefet. The Nasiv La Talmuda Listora. He said you might get Malkut on Tosefet, and the halacha turned out to be not. Velo yadana my Talmudo my Tosefet. And I'm not really sure what he was talking about. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Harisha. What he's talking about is plowing specifically. The Achikamar. And this is what it means. Yochol yilka al harisha da'atya miklal ufrat uchlal v'nasiv leilev talmuda liftora. So the first attempt, which we're not going to get into, is that the Gemara had a havamina that if you plow during Shemitah, you get malkut, and because it's derived from a klal ufrat uchlal, again, I'm not going to get too much into this, and then the Gemara says you don't. The imkenk olani pratei lamuli. But let's move to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yomim Sheosifu Chachamim Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Tosefet here means the days that are added to Shemitah before Rosh Hashanah. Vahachi Ka'amar. And this is what the Gemara is saying. Yochol Yilke Al Tosefet Rosh Hashanah. I might have thought that you get Malkut for the time that's added. Atta Micharesh V'Katzir Tishbot. V'nasiv la Talmuda liv Torah g'din l'meimer l'kamon. Just like we said later on, and my yomim shalifnei Rosh Hashanah, what are these days before Hashanah? And this is the Mishnah that you already saw, the first Mishnah in Shvi'it. Kedisnan ad matai chorshin b'stei ilan erev Shvi'it. Until what point can you plow an orchard before Shemitah? Beit Shammai omrim kol zman sheyafeh l'pri. Beit Shammai said as long as it's good for the fruit. Uvidhil omrim ad hatzeret. And the hill said until Shavuot. Ukrovin direi elu lichyot kedivrei elu. And then a later Mishnah. Ad matai chorshin tzei lavan. Er shvi'it. At what point can you plow a field? Right? An agricultural field. Mishetich la halecha. From when the moisture ends, yeah. Ellie? Meaning it means to a right, it's a non-orchard, right? In this case. Right here, it's I believe that is what he's talking about here. I think, yeah, shel tzvua, right? Usually tzvua, right? Okay, in this case, Rashi says it is grain. So until the moisture is gone, which Rashi says, Shikalenek Shanim Shoshana Shishit, meaning until rain ends and the moisture from the rain ends in Da'ara Ishata Mahani Harisha Lizriya Dishanazu, because as long as it's still moist from last year, you're helping the produce from last year, which is year six, which is fine. Mishatihla Halecha, but once the field has dried out, Eino Yochel Lachrosh, you can't plow anymore. Why? Because now it looks like you're preparing for next year, right? Because the agricultural season of year six is finished. So you're on to year seven. Because manz b'nei adam chorshin litam mashkaot u madlov. And as long as people are still planting various types of agriculture, and Reb Shimon Omer, no, in Kain not Torah Shir l'kol echad b'yado, that would give everyone their own time. Ele b'stei lavan ad ha-pesach, u b'stei ha-ilan ad ha-atzeret. If it's a grain field, you get till Pesach. If it's an orchard, you get until Shemitah. Okay? So, let's stop and start this Gemara. The Gemara here has a hava amina that you should get malchut, not only for working the field during Shemitah, but for working the field during Tosefet Shvi'it, in the time added. And the Gemara then rejects it. Why? Someone have a reason for it. Kobe, what do you think? Right, why does the Gemara, right, what might be behind the Gemara's understanding? Right? Why would you say you should get Malkut for working the field even during the period of Tosefet Shvi'it, and why might you say not? Well, if it's Darabanan, right, so, okay, so at one level, you could say the Havamina's Maskana is Daraita versus Darabanan, right, but so far we haven't seen any positions yet that it's Darabanan. We will see positions that at least part of the time is Darabanan, right? Okay, but first, but it is possible that the Havamina is that this is biblical. Maskana is it's not biblical.
But I'm always thinking that's also like a Isser by itself.
Okay, good. So you push it. Good. So what else might you say?
That for this Isser, it's not, maybe it's not as great as.
Why not?
Because I'm tempted to go back to Darabana, right?
Okay, you could say Daraita Darabana. What else might you say? Based on what we've been talking about, is there any way that the models we set up might explain this? Again, not necessarily, but how else might you understand this? Come on. You have to explain why.
Because, if you think about the incentive is after, you'd be a model to the net, and it's wanting to put you in the field.
Because?
How do you suddenly just do that without doing it also? Yes. And it's not based on the person, but yeah, it doesn't matter. You have that
protection of stuff. No, it's not during Shemitah, before Shemitah. Why would you say that before Shemitah you get Malkut? Why would you say it's prohibited but you don't get Malkut?
What's the
normal
question of Malkut? If it's a time of it, it doesn't.
Because
it's not this part of actual Shemitah, but it's remaining longer.
Good. So what many of the Acharonim suggest is, wait a second, this might depend on what we said yesterday, is how do you understand Tosefta Shvi'i? If you understand Tosefta Shvi'i, that what? That Shemitah doesn't really, the time itself is extended. It's not that it starts Rosh Hashanah goes to Rosh Hashanah. The existence of the prohibition of Tosefta Shvi'i tells you that Shemitah, at least the prohibitions of Shemitah, actually extend in time, right? Shemitah is in a year, it's a year and a few months, essentially, right? So then, since the normal punishment, as Kobe correctly notes, during Shemitah is Malkut, if you conceptualize Tosefta Shvi'i as the time of Shemitah itself is extended beyond Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, then just like you get Malkut during Shemitah, you get Malkut for working the land before Shemitah. Right? But Josh says, wait a second. If the Isser is to prepare for Shemitah, so then you might argue, not necessarily, but you might argue that what? You don't get Malkut because.
It's not part of
Shemitah. Right, meaning it's other to prepare, but at the end of the day, you're preparing. You're not working the land during Shemitah. You're not allowed to prepare the land, right? And it's prohibited, but it's still not the same, and therefore, you can't simply derive from the fact that it's prohibited to work the field during Shemitah, and you get Malkut for it, that you automatically get Malkut if you violate the prohibition to prepare, because preparing is different than doing. Right? Good. So that's what many of the Acharonim suggest. However, look at Tosfot. Right? Look at Tosfot for a second, the second Tosfot on the page, because Tosfot, right? If you look at Joseph, you'll see that he seems to be grappling with this question, but he doesn't take it in this direction. Okay? So look at Joseph, the second one on the page. Right? I know I didn't give it to you, but I would rather you focus on the Gemara, and, you know, as we go through, we'll throw in Rishonim that'll help our analysis as we go. So what does Joseph say? Who wants to try? Anyone willing to try a Joseph that I didn't tell you to do? This is quite daring. Good. Josh, go ahead. Ela ase grida becharish uvekatir tishbot. So Tosfos says, wait a second, I have a very, very big problem. Right? What's this very big problem? So he says, good. So he says, first of all, as Kobe noted, right? Kobe noted, the first thing you need to do for there to be Malkut is what, Kobe? Correct, and you need to ensure that it's Daraita. Right? Before you even do that, right, you got to make sure it's Daraita. You don't get Malkut for things which are not Daraita. Right? So Tosfot is already jumping ahead, and he says, well, wait a second. We have two positions, Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, only one of which says it's Daraita. Who holds this Daraita?
Rabbi Akiva.
Where does Rabbi Akiva get it from? Becharish. Right, but what's the pasuk? Becharish of a katir. Tishbot, what's his problem? Tosfot now has a problem, because what's the normal rule? For what types of biblical violations do you... One second. Sklar, you're in early today, no?
It's Tuesday. I don't come in the afternoon tomorrow.
Ah, do you...
Today.
Do you want to take the 12 then? Take Arya's slot? I was, right, man's slot. I was going to take it just because we need something to fill, but if you're here and you're not normally here, just give a random share. I can do it. He asked me 20 minutes ago also. It's not like, you know. Okay, if you want, you let me know at 12 if you want to do it. If not, I'll do it. What? What? I was going to do, there was something that I was planning. Not this week, no. There was a small Agarata here that I was going to teach that doesn't require me to have done all the introductions to Agarata on how to understand the pasuk Ki lo devareku mikem, which is the beginning of Shemitah. So I was going to do that. If you change your mind and want the privilege, let me know, okay? Yalla. Okay. So what does he say? He said, but wait a second. Right? What's the general rule? Do you get malchut for violating every daraita? No. Right? We have 613 mitzvot, okay? Right off the bat, 248 of them. The asays, the positive commandments, you get malchut? No. What else do you not get malchut for? Good. The things for which you get the death penalty or something like that. What else? If what? No, there are no essays for which you get malchut. No. If you fail to perform an essay, Bacon has the right to beat you within an inch of your life to make sure that you do it. But that's not punishment. That's encouragement. Gentle encouragement. I said this yesterday. I was like, the traditional way of getting people to perform it, but was to beat them within an inch of their life. And then they saw that I wasn't joking. Right, like I wasn't smiling. Like, no, that's really the traditional way. I'm not saying you should do it, but it really is what the Gemara says. But that's not malchut, right? That's not malchut. Right, that's different. That's rabbinic malchut, right? That's malchut margin. What else? What prohibitions do you not get malchut for? Wonderful. I like the way you think. Yeah. Anything you don't get caught, but fine. But no, in principle, anything which is nisak la'ase, right? Any law that the Torah gives you a way of fixing it. Right, like theft, right? You don't get malchut because what you're supposed to do is return, right? The HTML exhaler share gazal, right? So there are other categories, but fine. Right off the bat, as I say, so Tosfot has a problem, and Tosfot says, wait a second. First thing we need to do to establish malchut is make sure that it's d'oraita. It's only d'oraita according to Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's derived from in asay, b'charish v'katsir tishbot. So if it comes from a positive-sounding pasuk, right, then it might be prohibited, but you shouldn't get malchut. Correct. Right? Meaning there are plenty of things that we derive from an assay. You can have an assay which implies, right? Right? Like, honor your parents implies don't not honor them. But you don't get malchut for that. Right? Just because a positive implies a negative doesn't mean that it's defined as a law. It's still an asset.
The other pasuk that says not to plow
at something during Shemitah. The Harish of the Katsir Shishpot, which is, sounds like a Shabbat, he takes as an asset for Tosefet Shvi'it. And that's Tosefet's problem, is, wait a second, now, what if you wanted to push back on Tosefet, what would you do? If you wanted to explain how, according to Rabbi Akiva, you could get malchut, how would it be allowed? It's not allowed. Right. Meaning what you would say is if you wanted to work it out with Rabbi Akiva, you would say, look, and again, this does not work with the model that Rabbi Akiva thinks is about preparation. But you could defend it by saying, listen, it's true that he derived it from a pasuk that is framed in the positive, but that doesn't mean it's an assay, right, to rest during the end of the sixth year. What is it? By telling you that you're supposed to rest, what is revealing to you is that Shemitah actually starts early. Right? And therefore it's framed in the positive, but the nature of the prohibition isn't a positive. It's, right? It's that it's revealing to you that the prohibitions of Shemitah are extended in time backwards. I agree, but that, I'm saying if you wanted to defend yourself, right? Now again, Rabbi Akiva's language, as we noted, sounds more like preparation than it does extension in time. But, well, no, actually at this point he's saying within Rabbi Akiva, right? Presumably because he's not willing to say this when the Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel says it's only Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, which again, maybe you could argue get Malkut for Halacha Moshe Mitzinai if the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is that you extend Shemitah, right? But he assumes that if you're getting Malkut, this must be working within the model of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he's left with an Aseh, and therefore he takes it as an independent Aseh rather than an Aseh which reveals an extension of time, and therefore he says, I don't know how you get Malkut, right? That's in his question, right? But you see what he's, right, the way he's thinking, right? But then what does he say in the answer? And what's his answer? Exactly that. His question is, it's an Aseh, and what's his answer? What you learn from this pasuk, Chashviyat Matchelet Nishana Ashishit. If that's not as suggestive a language as you could possibly get, right, what does he say? Aha, the pasuk is an Aseh. It's a revelation that Shemitah is a misnomer. Or Shviyat is a misnomer, really. Right? Shemitah starts already in year 6. Right? The pasuk is simply revealing that Shemitah is 13 months, 14 months, 15 months, whatever. Right? Well, no. We suggested maybe yesterday that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel would divide on these lines. Tosfot clearly rejects that, because Tosfot is now reading into what we thought was more mashma in Rabbi Shmuel into Rabbi Akiva, if that's what you mean. Meaning what we suggested yesterday. Right, meaning Rav Moshe Feinstein is, we'll see, actually saying that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel break along these lines. Tosfot clearly does not believe that, because he says that Rabbi Akiva really means this, because presumably, why is he led to this point? Because it says you get Malkut, and in the Havam, you know, right? But remember, right? Here's always, this is one of the hardest things about a Gemara, right? Which is, all of this is within the Havam, you know, that you get Malkut. But what's the Maskana? Right? The Maskana could be that everybody agrees that Shemitah is only preparatory, or it could be that what? Rabbi Akiva thinks it's preparatory and he thinks it's alright. Rabbi Shmuel thinks it's an extension, but it's only Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And therefore, in the end of the day, you don't get Malchus going to everybody, but for different reasons. Right? Meaning, the problem with Tosfot is functioning within the Havamina that you do get Malchut, but Lamaskana we don't. And therefore, Tosfot doesn't tell you what he thinks is true in the end, he only tells you what is true in the Havamina. Well, it depends. You get a Malkut for Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, maybe if it is defining the parameters of the Doraita. Right? So it's possible. Right? It depends how you define it. No. Correct. You couldn't have a Halacha which is completely Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, right, that you get Malkut for. But an extension of a Doraita, obviously, you could. Right? Meaning certain Halachot are defined. Maybe. But again, within Tosfot, right, in the Tavim, you know, so what does he say? He says again, maybe what Tosefet Shviit is that the year starts early, and therefore whatever happens during Shemitah happens, applies during year 6. The Halchi Kamarachmana, the Shviit Matchelet Kodem Shana Shvishid, and Gain Huki Shviit. That's about it. Clear as you could get. Maybe what the Torah is teaching you is that the 7 really starts at the end of 6, and therefore whatever's true with 7 is true of 6. So in his Hava Amina, Tosfot clearly holds his Hava Amina, right, meaning the Maskana of his Hava Amina. No. Tosfot's Maskana in his understanding of the Gemara's Hava Amina, correct. Very good. Right? Meaning, within the Gemara's possibility to get Malkut, Tosfot says, no one should have ever had a Hava Amina that you get Malkut because it's an Aseh. Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel thinks it's only Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Rabbi Akiva thinks it's a Raita, but he thinks it's an Aseh. So no one should think you get Malkut. Tosfot's answer is no. The Hava Amina to say that you get Malkut is that the nature of Tosefet Shviit is that you extend the time. And therefore, whatever is true of Shemitah is true of Tosefet Shviit. And since, as Kobe asked me before, well, what happens if you plow during Shemitah? The answer is Malkut. Well, then, you could have had a Hava Amina that if the nature of Tosefet Shviit is that Shemitah starts early, So then you would get Malkut for Tosefet, for working during Tosefet Shvi'i. The problem is for Tosfot, obviously, that Tosfot is within the Hava Mina of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, which is rejected, Lamaskana. So then you have to ask, okay, but what's left Lamaskana? Correct. No, I'm not saying he has to be. My point is that you don't know what he's going to say in the Maskana. Right? He's explaining the Hava Mina only within Rabbi Akiva. Right? But when the Gemara then says that it isn't Malkut, right, why is that? So one possibility is because we passed him like Rabbi Ishmael and not like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Tosefet Shvi'i is not Oraita. Right? Correct. So it's theoretically possible that Rabbi Akiva would, and that this Braita is just going according to Rabbi Ishmael. We have no idea. Right? That this Limud is going according to Rabbi Ishmael. We have no idea. Right? We don't know at this point whether the reason Tosefta thinks you don't get Malkut is because Gemara is posking like Rabbi Ishmael against Rabbi Akiva. Or this sheet that the Gemara is posking like Rabbi Ishmael against Rabbi Akiva. Right? You don't know that. That is possible. Another possibility is that in his Hava Amina, he thought that Rabbi Akiva believed that Tosefet Shvi'i was about extending the time of Shemitah, which he's very clear about. But in the Maskana, he could go in two directions, which is either it is extending the time, but it's still not Doraita, or no, as Josh was Midayik yesterday, Rabbi Kiva's language sounds more like a Hachana model, right? That the reason it's prohibited is because you're preparing, but not that the time is actually extended. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel thinks the time is extended, but you still wouldn't get Malkut. Why? Because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't think it's Doraita. Right? But Tosefta doesn't tell us in the Maskana. He tells us the Hava Mina and Maskana of his understanding of the Hava Mina. Right? Yeah. If that was clear. Right? Meaning, within the Hava Mina that we're going to Malkut, he had a problem. You should not have a Hava Mina at all because it's an Asay. And his Maskana is, no, it's an extension of time. But then the Gemara rejects the entire thing and says, you don't get Malkut. Right? So if you don't get Malkut, why not? Right, so it could be that we reject the whole model and say it's not about adding time, it's about Hachana. Or it could be that we possibly go Bishmael. It could be a whole bunch of things. We don't know. Yeah.
According to Rabbi Ishmael, it's like saying that you start Shabbat, when you start Shabbat early, if you break Shabbat, you don't get the same kind of punishment as if you broke Shabbat. Shabbat's really very.
Correct, and that's true. Which is true. Which is true. That's in fact the halacha.
If you
make Shabbat early, right, we don't give you the death penalty at that point.
But it's Shabbat.
You make Shabbat.
It is Shabbat.
Oh, well, that's a good question, right? Right, we haven't even done that sugya yet, right? That's the sugya in Rosh Hashanah.
Also, from the words of Rabbi Akiva, I don't see like it's possible for us to say that here.
I understand.
Correct.
I did not say that Tosfot was not a stretch. Right? I mean, Tosfot takes Rabbi Kiva's language and basically erases it of all meaning, right? He says, aha, the Isra is to prepare, which he says, that means that the year seven starts. Now, of course, you could say the way he's getting it is that's why Rabbi Kiva uses that language, right? That it's Erev Shvi'id, it's not Shishit. Right? The point is that, oh, maybe that's exactly what he's saying, is that the year starts, Erev Shvi'id.
But he says that the
Pesach
isn't coming to the Kabbalah about the Shvi'i. We have a Pesach about it. But then he's saying that...
It's telling you that...
That both of the Sikkim are talking about
Shvi'i. Well, no. It's telling you that Shvi'i doesn't just mean the seventh year. It means the seventh year. And the Pesach comes to tell you the seventh year is really the end of six, the beginning of eight. Plus seven. Yes, I understand. It's a little bit of a stretch. But that's clearly what he's doing. Okay. Two separate issues here, Josh.
Yeah.
One is this what Tosfot is saying? The second question is, do you like what Tosfot is saying? Right? Is it what Tosfot is saying? Pretty undeniably. Tosfot is about as clear as you could possibly get. Do you like it? Different story. I didn't say I liked it. I said it's what Tosfot's doing. Right? It's clear that's what Tosfot's doing. Right? Tosfot's pretty clear about what he's doing. So now, but looking at Tosfot, what do you see? You see that our models aren't just out of thin air, right? Meaning Tosfot very clearly thinks that this is part of what is going on in the Hava Mina Maskana of the Gemara. In the very conversation of the Gemara, Tosfot jumps in and says, aha, this is what's at play, right? Is the nature of Tosefet Shvi'i that you extend the time, or is it something else? If it's about extending time, you can have a Hava Mina that you get Malkut, just like you would during Shemitah itself. But if it's something else, and he doesn't explain what that something else is, right, he just says, in Aseh, What the nature of that essay is, he doesn't explain. He just says, if it's something else, right, then you wouldn't get malchus. Right? Very good. Okay. Like I said, I will repeat this for the millionth time. But I was pretty clear about it, both in what I told you and what I wrote here. Right? Which is, make sure you read this Gemara very, very, very carefully. Right? Because every line in this Gemara, right, is necessary to build up the conceptual models here. Right? Again, we will periodically look at very suggestive Rishonim, like this piece in Tosfos. But if you aren't prepared with this Gemara, right, you're not going to understand where it emerges from, which is very important. Okay, but that's the first half of Gimel Amud Bet. So then the Gemara introduces the position of Rav Shimon ben Pasi. What does Rav Shimon ben Pasi come and say? Right? We've now left the Malkut issue on the side. Now Rav Shimon ben Pasi comes in. What does he say? Amar Rav Shimon ben Pasi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rabban Gamliel, Ubeit Dino, Nimnu al Shnei Prakim Halalu, Ubitlum. Rabban Gamliel and his Beit Din got together and they voted to nullify the extra times from Pesach and Shavuot and permitted plowing the fields all the way up until Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's what Rashi understands this. Right? They voted. What's the problem? Oh, actually, no, sorry. Before we do that, one more time. Before we do that, this should be obvious. But remember, the Gemara right before this quoted the position of Rabbi Shimon, who said that you're not allowed to just tell everyone to plow as long as the field needs it or as long as there's still moisture in the field. Right? Why? Because then you gave everybody, right, their own things. You have to take an arbitrary time. So this is, of course, parallel to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Right? But Beit Hillel doesn't explicitly say that the reason that you pick Shavuot at a random time is
for this reason.
Right? Meaning, you can read Rav Shimon back into Beit Hillel and say that the reason Beit Hillel wants one time is because that's not how you set up law. Law can't be arbitrary, right, or can't be changeable. But it's not clear that that's what he wants, right? I mean, you could read it back in Beit Hillel, but that's not necessarily what Beit Hillel wants.
Yeah, also, if you're saying that you're adding on two spheres, you can't have two different start times for two different things.
Correct, right? And therefore, it could be that it's more than that, right? It could be that it's not just saying, oh, you can't everyone have their own time, it's chaos. It could be that if the nature of the addition is extending time, then it makes no sense for it to be field and product dependent, right? It could be that this is part of the machloket. If it's product dependent, it's because it's about preparation, right? But if it's about extending time, the time has to be, well, set.
But even extending time, you can't have two different.
Correct. And you might say, well, if you're extending time, you can't have, oh, right. Now, within the time model, it's a little bit weird that for certain things it'd be from Pesach, right? And that already pushes against a pure time model.
I'm going to start Shabbos now under various, like, God things. I'm going to keep waiting until it cooking for a bit later.
Right, which would be weird.
That was what?
No,
I was just like, that's what I love that year, where there was three opinions about, like,
oh, yes, right. No, it's true that in early Shabbat, certain people do.
Opinion.
Correct, right, where it's already Shabbat, but if a woman has to do a bedikah for Nida, which is the classic machloket between the Taz and the Marshal, right, she can do it, right? It's Shabbat for some things and not for others.
No,
so it's not impossible.
But
we do have that.
It wasn't even just that. It was just saying that early Shabbat acceptance is like a neder. So
yes.
you can accept, like, but not
yeah,
the
it's a weird little brush.
How does that read into the sheet?
It's a weird little brush. I don't want you to ask that. Early Shabbos is a weird topic in general. It's a very complicated topic. Very, very complicated.
But it's just like called this.
Yes. It is,
okay.
But we haven't even done the relevant Gemara yet.
Okay.
We will, right in Rosh Hashanah, right? I gave that to you as well, but we haven't done it yet. But yes, all right, sorry, Zemel was doing it. I'm curious what he says. Okay. I'm having these like flashbacks where I taught like a mini series on early Shabbos for a while, and as I went through it, eventually it came to me that the way I understood the sugya, I had been doing it wrong my entire life, right? And what I thought you should be machmer on, I thought was just a chumrah that Mr. Brura held, which I just thought was wrong, which I still do. And what? Being machbid to daven mincha before plag and marav after plag if you're doing it, which I don't think you have to do, and no achron thought you had to do except the magen avraham and Mr. Brura. But everyone else said that was not the minhag in all of Europe, and I think there's good reason to believe that. I'm not saying that I'm not machmir on that. Just because I don't think it's right doesn't mean I'm not machmir on it. In my last note, right? But on the other hand, everyone takes it as a given that you're allowed to say all of Marev when you make early Shabbos, which I do not do, because that seems to be completely untenable. You can only daven Shmoneh Esrei early. You have to say Birchot Kriyat Shema after Seif, right? Which is mind-boggling. So yes, which is what Ramosha Feinstein, by the way, argues in his Teshuva, is that if you make early Shabbos, you just say Shmoneh Esrei, and then when it gets dark much later, then you say Birchot Kriyat Shema. Not just Shema. Not just repeat Shema. I know you repeat Shema. No, you save Birchot Kriyat Shema for later. And then people are like, what? You do that? I'm like, it's a Teshuva to Ramosha Feinstein. He's obviously right, but all the Rishonim say to do. The Rambam says explicitly to do it, but the Ravid says explicitly to do. It was a very traumatic situation. And of course, people are like, of course, you have a crazy sheet. I'm like, it's not crazy. It's what all the Rishonim said. Is Ramosha that crazy? The Sheikhs are also Paskins that way. Flashbacks. It's not just flashbacks. I have one person in my community who I've been fighting with him about this for a year and a half. It's like every few weeks they'll come back and like, no, I have a defense for the Minhag. Look at the Rashba. And I'll be like, yes, but the Rajma says something different somewhere else. You have a diuk and a Rajma, but I have another Rajma that says the opposite. We've literally been going at this for maybe 2 years already. I don't know. It's every few weeks. It'll be like, no, I found a source. Deep breath. Okay. So then the Gemara continues. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi says that we voted and we got rid of the prohibitions. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? Why are you not allowed to do that? How can you vote and undo it and make it mutter to work all the way into Rosh Hashanah? What's the problem? Come on, you said you did the whole Gemara. So new? Come on. Very good. Because the Gemara has a rule, the Mishnah has a rule, rather, which is, yeah, I'm related to Zerah Le'avav, I'm related to Shlakish Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, Heichi Matam Avatli, Tekanta Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. How could they nullify the decree of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? You can't do that. Why not? Vatnan Ein Beit Din Yachol Vatel Divrei Beit Din Chavero. You are only allowed to, the only way to uproot a rabbinic decree is if you are greater in wisdom and in numbers. What is wisdom and numbers? It's a very good question, right? Yes, Moshe, what's fine? Something's fine, I don't know. I'm not going to get it? Okay, what am I not going to get? What? Yeah, shoot. Maybe it will be. I like firm fields that incorporate Torah, yeah, okay. Yeah? There you go. You look at that. You're machaving unintentionally. Great. So what is... Okay, so what's the Chachma of a Minyan is actually what it means? How could you figure out who's wiser? Maybe it's only the Rosh HaBezdin. What does Minyan mean if every Sanhedrin is the same number of people, right? Every grand Sanhedrin, every Beit HaGadol has, right? So maybe it's how many people rely on them, whatever it is. They're very unclear. Okay, fine. But the point is that how could they uproot it? You're not allowed to uproot it, right? Who here is doing Gaf Yomi? I know at least some of you are doing Yaf Yomi, right? Chaim, you're doing Yaf Yomi?
Not right now, but I will be.
Were you doing it at the beginning of Beitza?
I was there for a few days.
Ah. Okay, so none of you are doing it consistently, but at the beginning of Beitza and Avdalah Dav, hey, you get this rule, right? Ein Beitzin Yachol Vatel Beitza, right? You can't nullify the decree of another Beitza unless you're greater B'chol Chumah Minyan. He says, wait a second. Was Rabbi Gamliel greater than Beit Hillel Beit Shammai? Yes, Moshe. You, something's bothering you. What? Right. So how could Rabbi Gamliel uproot Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Now, as we will have to see, in order to fully understand this, and this will become even more important in Yerushalmi, according to the way the Rambam understands it, and again, we'll come back to this, the Rambam says this is only true of rabbinic decrees, but not biblical interpretation. Right? The Rambam, at the beginning of the second Berakhot of Mamrim, writes that if Beit Din A interprets the Torah that something is forbidden, and then a later Beit Din interprets the Torah to say that it is permitted, they're allowed to do that without being greater B'chachem of a minyan. Biblical interpretation, they're allowed to change their minds. It's only decrees that have this limitation. Rabbinic, it's harder to change rabbinic law than biblical law. That's a very good question, and we're going to come back to it. There is a logic to it. It's a very good logic, but you'll think about it. It's a very good logic. I really do think it makes a lot of sense, right? But we'll come back to it. We are going to come back to it, don't worry, when we do the Yerushalmi. But for the moment, let's leave it at that the way the Rambam understands it, which A, as we will see, is not how everyone understands this halakha. B, right, we need to understand why the Rambam would say that. It is one of my favorite Rambams to teach. I do think it makes a tremendous amount of sense, but it requires a very careful understanding of the nature of law. Understanding constitutional law would not hurt, right? So he says, okay, but how does he uproot it? So eshtomeim kisha'achada. What does eshtomeim kisha'achada mean? What? What does eshtomeim mean? He basically was dumbfounded for a moment, meaning he was struck dumb, right? Right? He just, I don't know, good question, right? It's a good question, I don't know the answer, right? So for a moment, he was just, he had no idea. He said, that's a very good question. I don't know how he got rid of it. And then Amar Lei, Amar Kachit Nubeinehen, Kol Arotzeh Livatel, Yavo Vivatel. He said, no problem, it was a condition. It was built in to the law that we are temporarily prohibiting working in anticipation of Shemitah. But if you want to get rid of it, gesundheit, hey, do whatever you want. Now, right now, that's a pretty weird thing to say, right? Now, at this stage of the Gemara, what status is it describing to the seventh Shvi'it? Derabanan. Completely Derabanan, right? Now, this is why I said you had to read the Gemara backwards, right? The Gemara starts, the Gemara never asks the question. This is the first time the Gemara gets into it, which is this Derabanan, is it Derabanan, is it Lachol Moshe Mitzinai? Right? This is the first time the Gemara actually addresses it, right? And at this point, the Gemara assumes that at least the added times from Pesach and Shavuot are Dirabanan. And now you get back to the Gemara that I actually gave you yesterday, which was, did who he? Wait a second. Did he have the right to do that? Is it a takana? It is rabbinic, so maybe you could say it was a weird rabbinic law that had a built-in clause that if you want to get rid of it, you can. Right? Which is weird enough. But fine. If it's rabbinic, it could be. The problem is, halacha moshe mi-sinai. Right? It is not rabbinic, it is halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. The Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Mishra, Mim Nechonia, Ish, Bik'at, Beit Chortan, Esther, Nitziot, right? The halacha of eser nisiyot, which is tosefet shvi'i, right? That the exceptions to tosefet shvi'i that apply for 10 young trees, that you are allowed to continue working them until Rosh Hashanah, right? Which is an exception within tosefet shvi'i, that you're not allowed to work things except for a field of 10 saplings. Arava.
What?
What apparently it's more labor intensive, right? Because you need to, right? Because they need, or the labor is more critical because otherwise they'll never take root, right? The Gemara deals with it a little bit later on the Yerushalmi, which we will get to it. But yeah, it takes more, right? It's more essential work because an old tree, if you leave it for a little bit, right? Has anyone ever planted something, right? You all know the first few days, like you have to water it, like every day, right? Even something that normally you have to water like twice a week, right? The first few days you have to water it like every day, like twice a day with double the amount of water because it's taking roots, right? Because at the beginning, right, the nisiyot are like that, right? Are young saplings which have a different, just different work that's required than an old established tree. So the exception to Sevet Shvi that applies to Ezer Nisiyot is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Arava, what's Arava? Let's just get this out of the way. Again, it's later in the Yerushalmi also, but Arava is the Halacha of the Aravot on the Mizbeach, right? Which we commemorate, right, with on Hoshana Rabba, right? But that's not obviously original, right? The Chibur Avrav and Nisuch HaMayim and the water libation. On Sukkot, halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kim gimirei helchadash loshim yom livnei Rosh Hashanah, v'ati yahani takon mipesach u'me'atzeret, v'atnu b'didhu kol rotze livatel, yavov yivatel. He said, wait a second, you're treating Tosefet Shvi'i as one monolithic time, but it's not. It's not. The halacha l'moshe misinai only prohibits how much time before Shemitah? Chayim, how much time before Shemitah? Shloshim yom, how much is Shloshim yom? 30 days, very good. I'm glad your Hebrew is all up to par there. Shloshim yom, right? The halacha l'moshe misinai is only 30 days. Pesach and Shavuot, the additions are derabanan. So now I come back to Josh before. Josh said, wait a second. If Tosefet Shvi'i means that you add time to Shemitah, then how could it be that for some malachot you add Pesach, and some you add Shavuot? Now you answer your own question. Very good. Because the halacha of Moshe Misinai is only 30 days, right? So now we have another possibility. Yesterday we suggested the possibility that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva might be arguing along the lines of added time versus in Isra to prepare, right? But now we have another possibility, which is maybe this is the difference between the halacha Moshe Misinai and the Derabanan. The halacha Moshe Misinai, which is a set 30 days, is an addition of time, an extension of Shemitah. How is it that you could, within Rabbi Shema, how could you extend, right? Say some things are until Pesach, summer Shavuot. Well, you could say the halacha Moshe Misinai is a tosefet of time, and therefore it's a set 3 days no matter what. And the dirabanan is an iser to prepare. And if it's an iser to prepare, then what? It might be dependent on the type of field, the type of produce, the type of work. Right? So it could be that both models exist within the same shita, just depending on whether you're talking about the doraita or the dirabanan. Right? Right, because you're right. If you think it's a tosefet zman, if it's adding time, then it should be a set time regardless. Right? It would be very weird, as regardless of what Mordechai said about the levush. Right? The levush is weird. Right? Saying that tosefet Shabbat, aha, I have made a neder that I will daven, I won't cook, but I will still text. I mean, right? But it's a little bit weird. Weird, right? I mean, that's weird. You don't really accept Shabbos piecemeal that way, right? I want to start Shabbos 4 hours early so that any meal that I have is very, you know, is a big, heavy Shabbos meal, right? But I'm going to not accept any malacha, so I'll eat my Shabbos meal while watching football. Oh, right? I mean,
you're not going to
I know. I was like, I should think of something. I should use an example that's an actual, like, that's an actual malacha. Obviously, watching TV is not a malacha. No one thinks watching TV is a malacha, right? Turning on a TV might be if you think electricity is a malacha, but watching it when it's already on, obviously, it's not.
You want to have your Shabbos.
But I didn't think that you wanted to eat your Shabbos meal, but leave yourself the option of plowing. I need to plow for an extra hour. I have this strong, right? It's just, I'm overpowered by a desire to plow. I'll be honest, that is not usually the shaila I get, right? Where? Yes, exactly. Okay, there are places in the world, like I said, that's not the shaila I get. No one has ever called me and said, please, Rabbi, can I start my Shabbos meal early to eat with my family and then let me go and plow? I mean, it's just never happened. I'm dying to be Osesh Shtei Batei Nirin. I need to make sure that the whoop and warp and heddle and whatever of my loom are set up. I mean, it's so important. What? I need to tan my leather I have in unworked piece of animal hide. I mean, these are not the shilas I get. Exactly. Right? Look, let's be honest. It is very rare. Most of the things that people have a desire to do on Shabbat these days are not a violation of the Nisr Doraita. Right? Some of them are. Driving a car, fine. But much of what we do is not an Nisr Doraita, or at least not clearly so. Right? Electricity is a machloket. Right? There are things we do on Shabbat which are violations. There are things that the average Shomer Shabbos person does on Shabbat that is an Nisr Doraita, and they don't even realize it. Right? It's usually that people just don't know Shabbat. Right, it is true that you go into an average kiddush in shul and you will discover that people who think they're Shomer Shabbos are violating Nisr Doraita. What? So Borer is the one everyone jumps to, but no, that you at least are certain machlokot about it. The one malacha that people do all the time, which there's no machlokot about, is milabin of all things. Rabbi Willig always said this, that the number one violated Nisr Doraita on Shabbat is milabin, by people who are Shomer Shabbat. Right, what's milabin? Whitening. When do people do it? Tell me if you've ever seen this. You're at a kiddush, some grape juice gets in your shirt, and your mother, your grandmother, someone says, oh, wait a second, it's got a stain, you've got to put the water on right away. Right? Has it ever happened? You ever seen that happen? Good. Of course, I've seen it happen. That's malabin, according to all shitot. That is Nisr Doraita. Right? You have to bring the karban if you did that, not knowing it was usur. And if someone warned you, you would be put to death. So that's not the one you want to go out on. Right? Like, right? If you're going to be put to death, that is not like the crime. It's like, oh, why are they killing you? I took the grace you stayed out of my grandson's collar. You know, and that's really not what you want to die for. And maybe you do, I don't know.
Where do you see that baseball and base shamai joined together as a base and decided on which one they were
to do? They're assuming
it. The third opinion.
Correct, but they're assuming it. They're assuming it. A lot of times you have the historical, of course you have the historicity issues here, but I can't get back to it. I don't know. The Gemara assumes that there was a vote, right?
Also, if we're saying that second basin can change based on a biblical interpretation, then according to the key,
correct.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but remember, at this point in the Gemara, is the Gemara introduced to Rabbi Akiva?
No.
And that's why. Remember I told you that you should read the Gemara backwards?
Yeah.
This is why you should read it backwards. Because I understand, but they haven't yet. That's why I told you to do it. Right? But if this
case... Like,
yes, I thought about it for a while. I was like, should I let you start from the Gemara and then go through? Right? But then it's like, you know... It's like, yeah, I mean, the Gemara in this sense is really written backwards, right? Which, by the way, is possible, right? Meaning it's totally possible Gemara is written backwards, right?
Especially the way it starts, like, Bahani.
Right? I mean, the Ran says this in one point. The Ran, at some point in Avodah Zarah, says, look, there's a Gemara there where if you had the final Braita, the Gemara would not, there would be no... The Gemara would make no sense, right? It's like each time the Gemara says, well, maybe this is Mutter, and then the Gemara keeps... introducing different brightos, each of them which is more expansive than the previous brighta, right? And the Ran just says it's an artificially constructed Gemara. The Gemara had the brighta, right? The most expansive brighta that made it clear. But what it did was, in order to make sure that people understood it, they introduced it backwards with the least revealing brightot first, and then they slowly introduced more revealing brightot until you got to the point that you knew the halacha. But yes, the Gemara could have ignored all this by saying, here's the brightot, we're done.
Right?
What?
Because
we haven't finished the Gemara. The Gemara comes back to this question. Okay. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second, that assumes that it's halacha Moshe Mishinai. Vahani yochata ninu, is it really halacha Moshe Mishinai crying? Ninu, it is a pasuk, as we saw yesterday. Did not ever be harsh, because you're dishbor, Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Ainsar, Lomar, Harish, Kazir, Shishvi, Shere, Kwan, Ever, Sat, Lotis, Rabbi Karmach, Lotis, Mor. El Harish, or Shri, Shinich, Nas, Shri, the Kazir, Shishvi, Shatal, Moshe, Shri, Rabbi Shma, Lomar, Maharish, Shri, 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 Shod. Again, I'm just rereading with this could be spent all of yesterday on, right? Yatakatra, Omer, Shihu, Mitzvah, El Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara says, right, Elohim Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Ki Gemiri Helcha Tol Mishra Yelada, Kroy Lemeiters again. So this comes back to what we said before. The Halacha Moshe Mishinai permits the young saplings, and the Halacha Moshe Mishinai, sorry, the Psukim forbade the old ones. So the Gemara says, V'chevin the Helcha Lemishra Yelada Lav Memela Zekein Asura. That makes no sense, right? The Halacha Moshe Mishinai carries with it the implied prohibition on older trees, and the implied het thereon, and the explicit het thereon, the saplings. So that can't be it. Ella, Hilchatel Rabbi Shmael, Kroy Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmael thinks it's just the whole thing is Halacha Moshe Mishinai, and Rabbi Akiva thinks it's alright. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Gamliel, wait, you know me, alrighta but the Lahu. Wait a second. So now we come back to Josh's question, but wait a second. If it the limitation of Gadol Menu Chachma Minyan only applies to Dirabanan, then can't you just solve the problem by saying it's not Dirabanan and saying that the reason we were making it is because we came up with a different interpretation? Right, Josh? Guess what the Gemara says? Aha! That's how we got out of it. Right? Reb Yochanan Amram Gamliel, you know, me d'oraita basilahu. How did they get rid of it? Because it was from the Torah. And they used Torah to get rid of my time up. My time, a gomer Shabbat, Shabbat, mi Shabbat reshit. They derived Shmita from Shabbat. Ma lehalan hi asura lifaneu lachra mutarin. Just like on Shabbat, only Shabbat is asur, not before or after. And now you'll tell me, wait a second, aren't we about to look at a gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says you have to add to Shabbat? Yes. You're not the only person who asked. This Gemara is very complicated. Gemara says, aha, we learned it from Shabbat. Well, obviously you don't add before Shabbat to Shabbat. The problem is, yes, we do. Right? Okay, we'll come back to hold the thoughts on this because we can't understand this Gemara until we look at Rosh Hashanah. So, but for the moment, suffice it to say, the Gemara says, yes, when they forbade it, it was because they thought it was Asur Midaraita. When they permitted it, it was because they changed their mind about what the Torah said. And guess what? That you're allowed to do.
And first they compared it to Shabbat?
No. At first they didn't compare it to Shabbat, and that's why there was Tosefet. And then when they compared it to Shabbat, they said there's no Tosefet. The Gemara says there is Tosefet about Shabbat. You know who asked that question? Tosefot. But we're not going to look at Tosefot yet until we've seen the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Mala lan yasru lefanei lacha mutarin, afkan hi yasru lefanei lacha mutarin. During? No, it's saying mutarin. During it is asur, lefanei lacharei mutarin. Right, during is asur, but there's no addition. Right, again, Tosfot, you can see, right? Tosfot, second Tosfot on this page says, v'ikashim avgin mikrav mesechet yoma, same as Rosh Hashanah, right? Yitzarach lasot Tosfot, which Tosfot jumps in and says, I don't understand what you just said. You just said that what we learned from Shabbat is that there is no addition, but there is an addition on Shabbat, my brain is exploding, right? Right, that is a slight problem. Good, we'll come back to it. So then he says, Maskev la Ravashi. Ravashi says, Man damar hilchita. Atya gzira shava akra hilchita. He says, wait, I don't understand. So there's a halacha Moshe Mishinai, and the gzira shava comes and removes the halacha Moshe Mishinai. That's not how things work. Right? If there's an explicit halacha Moshe Mishinai, you can't uproot a halacha Moshe Mishinai. Uman damar kra, atya gzira shava akra kra. And even if you hold like a bitiva, so now you have two contradictory psukim on your hands, and you can't just get a Gzeirah Shavah to uproot a different drasha, unless you think the other drasha is now wrong. But you have to explain that, right? So Elo Amar Rav Ashi, You're right. This entire Gemara from start to finish is according to Rebbe Yishmael, that is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Yechigmiri Hilchita Bizman Shemei Damikdash Kayam Dum Yodinisa Chamayim. Aval Bizman Shemei Damikdash Kayam Lo. But the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai was given to Moshe that Tosefet Shvi'id only applies when the Beit HaMikdash is standing, just like water libations. Well, now all problems are solved, right? Now everything makes a lot of sense. Anyone understand that? Yes. Ah, so Ellie says, well, water libations are intrinsically linked, but...
And since they are, they're presented in proximity to our source of the speech, instead of the speech also linked.
Good. So, right, so the simple shot is what Ellie says, right, is Nisoch HaMayim, of course, is linked to the Beit HaMikdash. It happens on the Mizbeach. Right, but what's the problem? Is what Ellie is saying is definitely what the Gemara assumes, but it's not clear why the Gemara assumes, right? Ellie accurately gets what the Gemara says, which is, apparently these Halacha Moshe Mitzinais were given together and therefore consensually linked. What's the problem? It doesn't explain why that should be. It just says it is, right? Now it could just be, that's the answer. It is because it is, right? Why? Because I said so. It could be, right? But we got to wonder about it, okay? What? Yes, exactly, right? So it's very complicated. Okay, here. Guys, we went in an hour. Here's what I want you to do, okay? We got through the Gemara once. We've at least now read through the Gemara, okay? Tomorrow, here are questions we still need to deal with. There's a lot we need to do in the Gemara. First thing we'll do, though, is tomorrow, read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right, which is the other source for Tosefet Shvi'it, which is the comparison to Shabbat Yom Tov, most even Michal Al Kodesh. Try to understand the simplest understanding of that model, right? And with that, read the second Tosfot here, right, on the page. I mean, the one that says, meaning, once you've read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which says there's a mitzvah to add to Shabbat and Yom Tov, the obvious question you have to ask is, and why does the Gemara say that there is no mitzvah to add to Shabbat and Yom Tov? So really try to understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll come back to Tosfot. Eventually, we'll have to come back to the issue of Mikdash, right, which is why it's Tosefet Shvi'it linked to Mikdash. We'll have to come back to that, right? There is a lot of moving pieces in this Gemara, right? Once we finish that, I'm debating, at that point, once we sort of clear out those issues, I think it's probably worth going to the Rishonim, and not directly to the Rishonim, but I might change my mind on that, depending on how tomorrow goes, right? It might be that it's worth going through some of the Rishonim and fleshing out how they understood the Bavli, right? Like, finish off the Bavli, only so that we can go to the Rishonim and have every assumption we had about everything that's going to get exploded into a trillion pieces. And, yes, don't worry, that's what's going to happen. Okay, but make sure tomorrow read the Gemara Rosh Hashanah really carefully, okay? I know I keep saying this, but I really mean it, okay? Today, I'm so far still being a little bit nice, and even though I expect you to read the Gemara, I'm mostly reading it and just getting you to chime in, right? But I really want you to know the Gemara really, really well. So tomorrow, expect that someone else is going to be reading the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and someone else is going to be reading Tosfot, okay? Someone be ready, right? I don't know who I'm going to call on. I don't know if I'll be nice and let you volunteer or be mean. I haven't decided yet. Depends on how I feel tomorrow morning.